Okay. Thank you very much. It's really a pleasure to participate in such an intense program of Talmud Torah in preparation for Yom Kippurim, Yom Adin. So what I'd like to do is speak about one aspect of the day, of the Avodah in particular, and try to put it in a little bit of a different or in a broader context. The Avodas Yom Kippurim, as we are all aware, really constitutes the centerpiece of a day which is pivotal to all of our faiths, collectively and individually. The Rambam Hilchos Tshuva calls Yom HaKippurim the time of Slicha LeYachid ULeRabim, and clearly, this is the most pivotal day of the year. Clearly, the centerpiece of this day is the events that take place in the Mikdash. We just heard a very wonderful survey of many of the issues from Rav Schechter, Shlita. The Avodas Yom HaKippurim, which is complex and which is singular, constitutes the centerpiece of this day. Even though the Mikdash is a place normally in which more esoteric things take place, it's the place of the Kohanim, and in this day it's particularly the place of the Kohen Gadol, it's the most important part of, it's the most important venue, obviously, on the day of Yom Kippurim, and by extension, every day of the year. The Rambam uses the words B'yom HaTzom when he begins Hilchos Avodas Yom Kippurim, and he repeats it again in a passage in Hilchos Kli HaMikdash that we'll discuss a little bit later on. It's the Rambam's way of trying to connect between two aspects of Yom Kippurim. On the one hand, what all of us practice today outside of the Mikdash, what the Rambam develops extensively in Hilchos Shvisas Asar, the dinim of the Tzom and of the Isur Malacha, and at the same time, how that fits in or connects with Avodas Yom Kippurim. By beginning Hilchos Avodas Yom Kippurim with the words B'yom HaTzom, the Rambam is telling us that these are hand-in-hand two sides of the same coin. Even though, on the surface, they look very different. After all, the Tzom, the Mikroi Kodesh, the Isur Malacha of Yom Kippur is something that applies to each and every Jew, no matter where he lives. Mishpadach Adi Alachem, B'chol Moshvaseichem. And the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, as we said, is restricted to a time when there is a Mikdash, and, as we'll discuss more extensively, is actually carried out not only by the Kohanim, but in the case of Avodas Yom HaKippurim, almost exclusively by the Kohen Gadol himself. And even though Bizmanenu we don't have the Mikdash, Ledavonenu, even then the Avoda really dominates the day. Uneshal Meparim Sfasenu, Tfilas Musaf, and the Shliach Tzibur, and the role that he plays is kind of the de facto, you know, representative of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. It's still something which dominates the tefillah. It's something which, if we contemplate and reflect upon it, really mesmerizes us in terms of the details and the structure and the deep meaning behind it. It defies any other tefillah of the year. The Chazaras HaShatz of Musaf requires a special kind of chazan, precisely because it is more pivotal, it's more complex. But if we take a step back and we think about it, this is a central focus on specifically Avodas Yom HaKippurim. It's really very striking and very even shocking. After all, Yadus generally is not a religion, you know, which focuses on the actions of one, a kind of vicarious atonement, which the Kohen Gadol's role in Yom Kippurim seems to be, but as we'll explain, is not really. The focus on one person and everybody else being almost an observer or a spectator is something which, from a religious phenomenological point of view, just the nature of how we understand spiritual life, Avodas Hashem, is atypical. After almost all mitzvos and everything that is at stake on this day, as we explained, affects every member of Klal Yisrael. So why are we supposed to be so riveted by this program In the Mikdash, the progression of the Kohen Gadol, and so on. The truth is that even the participation of the Tzibur is something which is mostly triggered by and a response to the drama that is unfolding and that is presided over by the Kohen Gadol. Right, we just heard the end of Rav Shechter Shir, B'chala Amba Azara, Kishahayu Shomim Es Hashem, right? Something that we don't find in other Yom Tovim, Zecher LeMikdash, or Mishtachaveh, right? Even outside of the Mikdash, right? When the shame was heard, Yotzei Mipi Kohen Gadol, B'kedusha V'tahara, Hayukorim Mishtachaveh, M'modim, V'noflim Al Pneim, and then Lifnei Hashem Titaru, and the response of Baruch Shem Kevod Malchus Sol Le'olam Va'ed. That's a part where the Tzibur is certainly very involved, and again, it's very atypical for us to be doing in this context. But when you think about it, it's really just a response to observing, a spectating, if you will, what's really happening in the central theme, the Mikdash itself. So this is not just avoda-centric, it's much more than that. The avoda defines, dominates the whole day. And not just the avoda, but more particularly, the single actor of the avoda, of course, the Kohen Gadol. It's interesting, the Gemara Masechet Yoma, and Daf Pei Aleph Amud Aleph, seems to require a limud to teach you that the outside of the Mikdash Dinim apply not only by Yom, but by Erev. Normally we say by Erev, by Boker, right? A Kedusha Sayom always begins at night. But when it comes to Yom Kippur, it seems like there was a special need, a special limud was required to establish that the Yisrimalacha, Tzom, all these things begin at night and not only during the day. Tos Yishanim, in that Sugya, Yoma asks, how come we don't find, or makes the remark, you know, maybe we should require a makar to teach us the same thing about Shabbos, about Yom Tov, about Chol HaMoed? Why, when it comes to Yom Kippur, is it necessary to emphasize that the evening also has Kedusha? But I think that the answer is, again, the avoda, which mostly takes place during the day, we'll leave the Trumas Hadeshen out of it for the moment, is something, in general, the day begins in the Mikdash from the morning, and in particular, Avodas Yom HaKippurim is something that begins and is a day-oriented avoda, and therefore, it was necessary, perhaps, for a separate makar, that the Tzom and the Mikra Kodesh, Yisra Malacha parts of Yom HaKippurim be established tonight. And they are, because it's a full Kedusha Sayom by virtue of the fact that contained within it is the Avoda, even though it starts at a later hour. Once again, the Avoda, and particularly the role of the Kohen Gadol, as we will examine, seems to be playing a very outsized role. Typically, Avodas themselves involve many people. We heard before, there were payasim, which the Mishnayos and Yoma discuss extensively, and there was an effort to involve multiple kohanim. There was a mishmeres, and there was a beis av, and there was obviously every effort was made to include as many kohanim as possible. The ketores could only be done by an individual once. All of this to highlight the fact that even though kohanim are required in the avodas hamikdash, nonetheless, this is a representation. It goes across at least Shevet Kehuna, and by extension, you know, Hani Kahani, Shluchi Didan, Shluchi Derachmana, and so on. But when it comes to the Avoda on Yom HaKippurim, which one would have thought would be, you know, the most democratically shared Avoda, because it's the one that affects all of Klal Yisrael, what we find, of course, is this atypical phenomenon that only the Kohen Gadol, he's the single figure who matters. From the other perspective, from the perspective of the Kohen Gadol itself, it's also atypical and unusual. Mostly, the Kohen Gadol, aside from the personal korban that he brings every single day, the Minchas Chavitin, mostly he has certain prerogatives in the Mikdash, but he doesn't really have the obligation, he's not indispensable, for the daily avoda. And he's Nota Barosh, he's Bchalik Barosh, he has special rights, you know, to be Oved when he wants to. But mostly, he's not indispensable at all, and he can use his discretion, pretty much, in terms of how much he wants to be involved in Korbanos Tzibur. Again, the Minchas Chavitim, which is brought, you know, in two portions, we'll explain in a moment, every single day, that aside. On the other hand, Yom Kippur is something which requires specifically the Kohen Gadol. He is the exclusive functionary, and the preparation, the anticipation of that avoda, in a way, defines him as well. We're all familiar with the week-long preparation, the prisha that takes place a week in advance of Yom Kippur, that the Mishnayos and the Gemara speak about in the beginning of Masechet Yoma, but it's even much more than that. Number one, that prisha is connected with the miluim, which was the actual initiation of the institution of kahuna itself. It's a very significant model. Moreover, that preparation, in addition to having its own status, separate from whatever benefits accrue or accomplished by it, also is based on a kind of fanatical, good fanatical, way of preventing or precluding any scenario which would eliminate the partition of the standing ideal Kohen Gadol. We anticipate all sorts of potential obstacles of tumah, of the possibility, you know, that his wife might not be alive at the time, and he has to be nasui matkinin lo isha. He has a backup. The Gemara, Mishnah, and Gemara at certain points have to say ein lo davar sof. You know, when even more drastic, you know, contingencies are being considered. But in the end of the day, as the Mefarshim point out, the normal dinim of Safek and Rov and Chazaka seem to be suspended just to ensure that the personality of the existing Kohen Gadol can be fully engaged, fully immersed in the Avoda. Beyond the normal dinim of Safek, as I say, Chazaka, Rov, etc. Why this preoccupation? Why this anticipation? But it goes even a step further. It's not just the 7-day period and, you know, thinking, you know, out of the box, you know, about ways to ensure his participation. That in itself is a phenomenon that requires explanation. But there is some evidence, at least, that the Kohen Gadol, again, who has not so many specific functions all year round, is defined all year round by his being in training, or by his being qualified to be Oved on Yom Kippurim. Let me illustrate this just in a couple of ways. The sugyas in the beginning of Yoma establish that the Kohen Gadol has to be married, and they also establish that he can only be married to one woman, not to two or more. Again, prior to Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom, a person could have more than one wife, but not the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. He has to be married, and he has to have only one wife. So what's fascinating is that the Rambam, in Hilchos Yisurei Bia, Perek Yud Zayin, Halacha Yud Gimel, suggests that this requirement, which we find specifically only with regard to Yom Kippur, in terms of the limud, in terms of the Talmudic evidence, the Rambam says that mitzvah saseh al kohen gadol she yisa nara basula. Get back in a second. Number one, the Rambam says there's an obligation for a kohen gadol to marry a nara basula, and then he also adds in continuation the eino nosei shtei nashim liolam. He's not allowed to marry two wives ki achas at the same time. Shenemar isha achas velo shtai. That's the Rambam's psak. The Ravid points out because of a Ravid. Lo mischabra zos hasvara. This doesn't seem to be correct. Shalei omer b'masechet yoma, ela beisa omer achmona v'lo beis batim. The efshar shalo nesar b'beis nashim ela b'yom kippurim. The Ravid says, listen, the evidence comes from Yom Kippur. The pasuk is, you know, beiso zu ishto, and also lo shtei batim. And as far as we know, in terms of Makoros, this is a din on Yom Kippur. So why does the Rambam record, finds a different Makor, we don't know where he found that from, he has a new halacha that doesn't appear in the Gemara, and where did he get it from? The Ravid continues that the problem of having two women on Yom Kippur, in his opinion, doesn't say this in the Gemara, Shema Yimshoch Libo Achareim V'Yavol Lidei Tuma, a very pragmatic reason that he might become Tameh on Yom Kippur. Aval Adas No Senes Kain says the Ravid, Kedei Shalei Tzarech L'Garish Erev Yom Kippur, Ela Shani Motze V'Yisalo Yehoyadan Ashim Shtayim, and so on. Ravid says, maybe the Rambam holds, or maybe it makes sense that a Kohen Gadol cannot have more than one wife, because it's very impractical, right, to expect that, you know, Erev Yom Kippur, all of a sudden he's going to divorce all of his wives except for one. So, for practical reasons, it would probably be better if he had only one wife. But that's not what the Rambam says. The Rambam quotes a pasuk. And the question is, where did the Rambam get this idea from? And what is the relationship between this halacha that he cites in Hilchos Yisrei Biya and the din that we know of from the sugyas in the beginning of Yuma, that on Yom Kippur the vidui of the Kohen Gadol has to be on Beso and not on Shtei Batim, and so on. What is the relationship between these halachos? And much has been said and talked about in this matter. The Minchas Chinuch asked a different question. Minchas Chinuch noted that the Rambam omits the halacha that you cannot have two wives from the one place where it should be, Hilchos Avodas Yom Kippurim. The Michas Chinuch further challenged the Rambam. Michas Chinuch was of the mistaken opinion that the Rambam doesn't quote this halacha, namely that you're not allowed to be Oved Yom Kippurim if you have more than one wife anywhere. And the Michas Chinuch challenges how did the Rambam create a new halacha that doesn't have a makar in Hilchos Yisrei Biya, and he doesn't quote the halacha which is explicit in Masechet Yoma. He doesn't quote that halacha anywhere. So on the second charge, there is a factual discrepancy. The fact is that the Rambam himself, as other Achronim note, you don't need the Achronim, you just need to look in the Rambam, in Hilchos Kli HaMikdash Perakei Halacha Yud, the Rambam says the following, Kvar Biarnu B'Sefer Kedusha, quoting his words in Hilchos Yisrei Biya, Shehu Asur Be'almana U'mitzuva Ala Besula, that he, the Kohen Gadol, cannot marry an Almana, where he can only marry a Besula, the Eina Nose Shtei Nashim, and he's not allowed to be married to two women, Vim Nasa Shtayim Eina Yachal Lavod B'Yom Hatzom, there's that phrase again, the same phrase that he uses in the first words of Hilchos Avodas Yom Kippurim, Ad Shi'igare Shla'achas, he cannot do the Avoda until he divorces one of them. So the Rambam, in fact, notwithstanding the Minchas Chinuch's most severe critique, does quote the din in the beginning of Masechet Yoma that is explicit, which is that the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur cannot be oved with two wives. However, the question still remains, where did he get this halacha of Yisrei Biya of Kol Shana, and what is the relationship of these two halachas? So many of the Achronim assume that there are two different dinim, one Kol Shana, based on one Pasuk, and a special din on Yom Kippur, which is posel him for the Avoda. It doesn't seem like the Rambam thinks that the Kohen Gadol cannot be Oved Kol HaShana if he has two wives, even if he violated that particular requirement. So it seems like there are two different dinim, and basically the Achronim came up with all sorts of different solutions, which we're not going to discuss right now, to explain the nafkamina between these various cases, if he was already married to two women, v'chahena rabos. The Rav Zatzal had a different suggestion. He thought that the din that the Rambam codifies in Hilchos Yisrei Biya, the chiddush, in other words, that one cannot be married, a Kohen Gadol cannot be married to two wives all year round, and the halacha that a Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, right, cannot serve if he has more than one wife, that those are basically the same halacha. Why then does the Rambam quote this halacha in Hilchos Yisrei Biya? So the Rav suggested that maybe the reason is because the definition of a Kohen Gadol, right, is essentially established by his worthiness, his being appropriate to be oved b'yom kippurim. So what the Rambam is telling us in Hilchos Yisurei Bia and repeating in Hilchos Kli HaMikdash is that indeed the requirement not to have two wives is a din in Yom Kippur, but that all year round the Kohen Gadol has to be somebody who is defined by his qualifications to be a Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. So if that's the case, the reason I'm quoting this idea, in addition to the fact that it's a very nice idea, is the fact that, in other words, it isn't just that the Kohen Gadol for 7 days prepares. He prepares all the karbanos, these familiarity, we separate him to, again, ensure that there'll be no tumah problems, we have another wife standing by, and so on and so forth. From this perspective, and there are other evidence of this as well, the Kohen Gadol is defined by his obligations on Yom Kippur all year round. And surely, that intensifies the link between the two. Let's take it a step further. The truth is that the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, again, as Shefter just noted in his shir, is obligated to preside not only over the karbanos of Avodas Hayom, but over other karbanos as well. That is a statement that is clear, Sugin Horios, and twice in Masechet Yoma, to all of Rishas. Now the question is how to understand that halacha. After all, these other karbanos are not specifically limited to Yom HaKippurim. Why should the Kohen Gadol's requirement to preside extend to them? And there's a debate among the Rishonim how far indeed it extends. And essentially, there could be two, I think, perspectives, simplifying a little bit, about this extended requirement of a Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. One is, if we understand that the Avodas Yom HaKippurim itself is not limited to the Avoda B'Bigdei Lavan, or even to, the Ayah, let's say, Elo Shel HaKohen, which is B'Bigdei Zahav, but rather, it impacts, it transforms the connected avodos as well. In other words, Gemara says in Masechet Zvachim, the Tzadi Aleph Amud Aleph, Gemara there speaks about a very famous problem. What comes first? Tadir, after all, Tadir, Sheinu Tadir, Tadir Kodem, or Mekudash, something which is greater level of Kedusha. So the Gemara says, well, you could probably prove it because you have Tmidim and then Musaf of Shabbos. And we do the Tzmidim before the Musaf of Shabbos. So Tadir is Kodel and Mekudash. So the Gemara says, Atu Tzmidei Shabbos Einon Kedoshim, or something like that. Meaning, do you think that the Tamid that is brought on Shabbos isn't also transformed by Shabbos itself? So, that's just a mashal for the moment. The Gemara has two other examples of this, Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Kodesh. Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos. So from a certain perspective, you might say that when Karbanos or Kedushos are integrated with each other, we have other examples of this, according to the Mandamar, Kedusha, Yontif and Shabbos, Kedusha Achas, other things. When you have Kedushos that come together, or you have Kiyumim that come together, they redefine each other. They expand by interacting. The dynamic that is created between them creates a new Chalos, if you will. So one perspective is that the reason that the Kohen Gadol has to preside over not only what is technically part of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, or what is unique or singular to it, but also over some of the other karbanos, is because the Kohen Gadol is really presiding over an expanded Avodas Yom HaKippurim. Indeed, the Rambam begins Hilchos Avodas Yom HaKippurim, very fascinating, B'Yom HaTzom, I mentioned that already. The first thing he tells us is, Makrivim Tamid B'Shachar V'Tamid Ben Arbayim, Kesedor Kol Yom V'Yom, U'Makrivim Musaf Hayom, and then he has all the different concentric circles of what it is that you bring on Yom Kippur. Why did the Rambam find it necessary to start Hilchos Avodas Yom HaKippurim, right? It seems like on a whimper, not a bang. Seems it needs to tell us that there's a Tamid on Yom Kippur and that there are Musafim like any other Yom Tov. That's question number one. Question number two The Rambam, after he details all these, as I say, concentric circles of chiyuvei korbanos, goes on to say, the Rambam goes on to say that actually, if you count them up, there are 15 korbanos that are brought on this day. Again, most of us can count. If you count what the Rambam lists, there really are 15. Why does the Rambam have to say Nimtzu Kol HaBehemos HaKreven B'Yom Zeh Chamesh Esrei? And then he quotes them again: Shnei Tmidim, Par, Shnei Elim, Shiva Kvasim, Kulamola, Shnei Seirim. So he just mentioned those very korbanos in the first half of the halacha, and most of us can, you know, with a calculator, without a calculator, can figure out that there are 15 of them. Why is it important to know even that there are 15, as long as the Kohen Gadol goes ahead and he performs the duty? So why do we start with Tmidim, Odi the Havamina not, and why do we count? And then in Halacha Beis, the Rambam says, Avodas kol chamesh asrei behemos elu, hakreven b'yom zeh, ein ela b'kohen gadol bilvad. All 15 require the Kohen Gadol. So I think that the Rambam is telling us the following. You might have thought, and the Rambam in particular thinks that Yom Kippur is a singular day. It's not generic in any way. It's not even a Yom Tov and a Yom Kippur. It's just Yom Kippur. The Rambam actually formulates the dinim of Yom Kippur, unlike the Torah and Shulchan Aruch, before Hilchos Yom Tov and after Hilchos Shabbos. The Rambam thinks that Shabbos and Yom Kippur have Kedusha Achas. That's a psak of the Rambam in Hilchos Eiruvin, Perek Ches Halacha Yud. Very chiddush of the Rambam. He says, yearly, if Shabbos falls after Yom Kippur, or Yom Kippur after Shabbos, the Eruv Tchumen that you make has to be one for 48 hours. The Rambam thinks that Shabbos Shabbosot isn't just a melitza, it's a real din of Yom Kippur. That's why he went on right after Erevin to count the dinim of Yom Kippur in Hilchos Shvisas Asar. So, basically, the Rambam thinks that Yom Kippur is not a Yom Tov. Yom Kippur is Yom Kippur. Of course, it incorporates many aspects of Shabbos and of Yom Tov, but B'toras Yom Kippur. So you might have thought that maybe there are no Tmidim, and maybe there aren't Musafin either. What the Rambam is telling us is that there are, not because it's a generic day also, but because Avodas Yom Kippurim redefines everything. All of the avoda becomes integrated. Of course, with different emphases, some big day lavan, some the big day zav, and so on and so forth. But basically, what the Rambam's telling us is, you really want to understand what Yom Kippur, the Yom HaTzom, is, we're going to start with a bang, not a whimper. Makriven tamid b'shachar v'tamid ben arbayim kasedo kol yom v'yom, but nimtzu'u, there are 15 animals that are brought on Yom Kippur. Not five, you know, or seven, you know, generic ones, and eight Yom Kippur ones. There are integrated 15. All of them are redefined by being part of Avodas Yom Kippurim. I think that the Rambam holds that the same is true in the opposite direction. In other words, if Yom Kippur didn't also have Tmidin and Musafim, and wasn't also able to put its particular stamp on them, then frankly, it wouldn't be Yom Kippur, or it wouldn't be a power, it wouldn't be something that redefines our Avodas Hashem all year round. Achas Bashana, Yom Kippur needs to be a singular day, and a day that transforms the rest of the year, and that draws from the next of the year. And therefore, it starts with Tmidim, Musafim, Rambam is Mechadesh, this year it's relevant. Even Musaf Shabbos has to be part of the mix, and so on. So one could explain, and certainly for the Rambam this mostly works, that the reason that the Kohen Gadol then has to preside even on the other Korbanos is because on some level the other Korbanos become part of the Chalos Avodas Yom Kippurim, to some extent. However, it doesn't work for all of the Rishonim, and maybe not even for some of the things that the Rambam also counts require the participation of the Kohen Gadol, the Dishon HaMenorah, the Ketores, some of the other things. So it's possible that there's another idea. And that is that basically Yom Kippur is the day of the Kohen Gadol. It's the day in which his singular talents, motif, what he stands for in Avodas Hashem is manifest. The singular day of the year, Achas Bashana, and the singular Kohen, halacha is that you can only have one Kohen Gadol at a time. Even if you have two people with Kedushas Kohuna Gadola, you can have only one Minui at a time. That merging or converging is a din in Kedushas Yom Kippur. And therefore, even korbanos or even avodos that aren't stamped as avodos Yom Kippurim, b'cheftza, as long as they're considered avodos b'yom, or the Kedushas Hayom of Yom Kippur, have to be presided over by the Kohen Gadol. This is particularly maybe true according to the Baal Amor, who thinks that even the Trumas Hadeshen, which is a night korban, and which certainly belongs, seems to belong to the previous day, even that requires the presiding of the Kohen Gadol. The Ritva, Shachter mentioned earlier, in Yoma, Dafid Beis Amid Beis, quotes in the name of the Ra'ah, in the name of the Ramban, this part doesn't appear in the Bukhamos, that maybe, there's only a mitzvah l'chatchila for the Kohen Gadol to be involved in the other Karbanos. Maybe it's only, his participation is only ma'akev b'di'eved, in a situation where we're dealing with either avodos b'bigdei lavan, or some of the other defining singular aspects of avodos yom, like the El HaKohen Gadol, etc. This idea that you would have a mitzvah or a kiyum doraisa, right, for the Kohen Gadol to participate more fully, but it wouldn't be ma'akev, is very, again, interesting phenomenon. But if the idea is not that we've expanded the cheftz of avodos yom kippurim, but in addition to that, there's a din that the Kohen Gadol, right, should be oveid on the Kedushas Hayom of Yom Kippurim, because the Kedushas Hayom of that day and the personality and the characteristics and requirements of a Kohen Gadol become one and the same. Indeed, it's interesting, for that reason, that the Rambam really requires that the Kohen Gadol be true to his calling and to his definition, Kol Hashana. Mentioned before that the Rambam Shita is that number one, the Kohen Gadol needs to be Nasui. Some of the Achronim point out, it sounds like the Rambam thinks that marrying a Basula is not just an Isra say, not allowed to marry anyone else, but he's obligated to be married. Generally, we learned Masechet Kiddushin last year, the Rambam's view is that Kisha Yirtza Ish Lekadesh Isha, Rambam Perek Aleph Uchos Isha Salacha Aleph and Beis, right? The derech of Kiddushin is the mitzvah, the way to do it. But the obligation to get married, maybe aside from Piri of Arivia, is not the Rambam's perspective on that mitzvah. Yet, in Yisurei Bia, it sounds like the Rambam thinks that a Kohen Gadol, all year round, has to be married. Moreover, as we said, the Rambam's view is that he cannot have two wives. So I mentioned the Rav's perspective, which is that all year round, the Kohen Gadol's in training, or he's being qualified for his primary task or his defining task, being the one who presides over the Avodah Yom Kippurim on that special day. But I think that one can also take an opposite but parallel perspective. After all, the Rambam in the end of the day did not quote the halacha that if Kohen Gadol has more than one wife, that he's puzzled to do the Avodah in Hilchos Avodah Yom Kippurim. In the end, he quotes that only in Hilchos Kli HaMikdash. So I'd like to suggest that what the Rav suggested is one side of the coin, but there equally is another side of the coin, just as there are in Tmidin and Musafin. And that is that the Rambam is telling us that there wouldn't be all of a sudden a requirement for the Kohen Gadol to be Nasui and only to be married to one and not more wives, Dafka on Yom Kippur. That would disconnect Yom Kippur too much from the rest of the year. Achas Bashana. What the Rambam means is that the special qualifications of a Kohen Gadol, based on who and what he is at all times, are particularly acutely manifest on the day of Yom Kippur. And therefore, it's a Kli HaMikdash halacha that he has to be married, or an Isuri Bia halacha, Kli HaMikdash halacha, that he has to be married and to only one wife. On Yom Kippur, it's even ma'akev the avoda. But that makes sense if the avodas Yom Kippurim is not something that merely requires the indispensable participation of the Kohen Gadol, but that in another respect, the opposite is true. The avodas Yom Kippurim is defined, its kedusha flows from the fact that it is the outlet for kedushas Kohen Gadol as a category. Precisely what I'm trying to suggest. Indeed, Pukhazi Ma'amadavar. It's very interesting, you know, the way that the tefillos really develop in Musaf, so on. Everybody knows the beautiful songs, Mara Kohen, right? And Yontav HaYosim LeKohen Gadol Kishiyata Belipega. I don't know what the Nigunim are here, and I'm certainly not a Chazan, but we know those are highlights of the Musaf. It's very fascinating. It's almost, you know, an obsession about the Kohen Gadol. It's not just a spectator orientation or posture. We're watching, we're seeking, you know, progress and the progression of the Kohen Gadol. But again, his aesthetics, his radiance, his appearance, the Yontif Shehayu Osin, why so much focus on the Kohen Gadol? But if indeed we take the view that the Kohen Gadol is not just the perfect person to preside over Avodas Yom Kippurim, but that the convergence of Avodas Yom Kippurim, a day of Kulo LaHashem, and the status and stature of the Kohen Gadol are one kiyum, that we understand why the personality and the fate of the Kohen Gadol is so bound, both in Simcha and in Da'aga, with the fate of the Kohen Gadol. Heim bachu, v'hu bacha. They have to make sure that he's not a tzaduki. We're worried about hurting his feelings. The status and the stature of the Kohen Gadol is one and the same. It's part and parcel of Kedushas Yom Kippurim itself. Indeed, this is implied by the psukim. After all, the Torah presents the Avodas Yom Kippurim in a very unusual way. Vayomer Hashem Moshe daber el Aaron achicha. I'll start from the beginning. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe achrei Moshe bnei Aaron b'karvasam b'fnei Hashem vayamusu. The whole Avodas Yom Kippurim is introduced essentially in a very personal way by Misas Aaron and Bezos Yavo. Vayomer Hashem Moshe daber el Aaron achicha al Yavo b'choleis la kodesh mibeis la paroches el pnei kaporis asher la Aaron v'lo yamus. Bezos Yavo, the first words in a way of the Avoda, Bezos Yavo Aaron Elakodesh, the par be bakar lechatas ba'ayol le'ola, and only then umeis adas b'nei Israel, right? Yikach shnei seirezim lechatas ayol echad li'ola, and then back again. Hikriv Aaron as parakatas ashalov kiper bado bad beso. Basically, if you look at the progression of the psukim, there are really different ways to understand it. You could understand that the role of the Kohen Gadol is simply one who is matir, knisa lefnai v'lefnim, which is necessary for Avodas Yom Kippurim, and therefore, we need to read about it first. We have the background of Achrei Mos, it's Bezos Yavo Aaron, but the real focus is when we get to the part of Me'es Adas B'nei Yisrael Yikach Shnei Se'ireizim, and you have the Shnei Se'irim, the Karbonos Tzibur. But the Psukim don't really read that way, at least don't have to be read that way. I think the Pashtas don't read that way. The whole Parsha doesn't even mention Yom Kippur and Kapara, or the full Kapara, until the end. The initial focus is in Bezos Yavo Aaron El HaKodesh, on the status of Kohen Gadol, or at least Aaron is the paradigm of Kohen Gadol. Speak about that in a minute as well. On his personal karbanos, which he has to buy with his own money, the ayil, and especially the par. There's all sorts of discussions in the Gemara, this is definitely not for now, whether the status of those karbanos, they're karbanos yachid in one respect, because he purchases them, they're not from the community fund, they don't belong to the rest of the tzibor. On the other hand, with regard to issues like tumah hutra and dechuya b'tzibor, and the question of chatas, yachid, or tzibur, or shutfim, mesa, and possibility of Osa Tmura. The Gemara in numerous places in Masechet Yoma discusses what really is the status of these korbanos. Is it a korban for the Kohanim, who are also Niskaper, Bikufya, Mikiva, one or the other? Is it really a personal korban? Maybe it's a tzibur korban, even though it's only his korban. That aside, that's already very suggestive, there's no precedent for the interaction of these korbanos and the role of this korban yachid in particular. Right? Essentially, the se'ir hanasa b'fnim, the one about which we say l'ashem chatos, copies, as that's what the psukim say, right? They copy what is done with the par, in terms of the hazos, and so on. And then they get all mixed together and put on the karnos of the mizbeach apnimi and other hazos, etc. We mix the korban yachid of the kohen gadol with the korban tzibur of the seir anasa b'fnim l'ashem chatos. What is that? Again, there are possibly other ways to understand it. What I'm trying to suggest is that the hakrava of the par chatos and its connection to the seirim, the fact that it is Aaron's personal korban and the others is the korban tzibur, these are interlocking principles. It's the Torah's way of saying that the day of Yom Kippur and the avoda of avodas Yom Kippurim, which is intended to be mechaper, to mechaper and klal Yisrael, to reach a stage of kedusha that we don't have any other time in the year, has to be brought about by the Kohen Gadol not merely as a means to an end. He's the only one or the most qualified one to be nechnas lefnai v'lefnim, for sure that also, but more importantly, it allows the principle behind who the Kohen Gadol is to be expressed as equally the Kulo Lashem and Kulo Latzibur motif of Avodas Yom HaKippurim itself, of Vinisa Misnaf Shosechem, of Mikra Kodesh, and of the Kapara of the Seir Hanasa Bifnim and the Seir Mishtaleach. The Gemara says that there are Gimel, Misha says that there are Gimel Viduyin, and there are 10 Shemos Hashem, right? 9 of which come from the Viduyim, and 1 come from Hashem Chatos. We're mixing and we're merging the par of the Kohen Gadol and the Seir HaMishtaleach, and in some cases the Dam, the Seir Hanasa Bifnim, of the Korban Tzibur. It sounds like it's all one big keel. Indeed, Schechter mentioned the famous view of the Gra, who was bothered by certain discrepancies in Torah Shebichsav. The Gra developed the idea, it's really based on the Medrash, Vayikra Rabbah. Rashi certainly disagrees. Rashi, right in the beginning of Zos Yava Aaron Ala Kodesh, says only on Yom Kippur, even Aaron couldn't come any other time. But in Vayikra Rabbah, we're told that Aaron HaKohen in particular, he could come whenever he wanted, as long as he came al Seder Hazeh, with the protocol of Avodas Yom HaKippurim. The Chiddush of the Gra was that the presentation of the Avoda in Torah Shebichsav, as opposed to the Mesorah of Torah Shebaal Peh, is something that applied to the Aaron HaKohen, not on Yom Kippur Avoda, as opposed to the Avodas Yom HaKippurim one. But when you think about it, it's a very shocking idea, a very fascinating idea. Meaning there is every Yom Kippur, there's the Avodas Yom HaKippurim for Klal Yisrael, but Aaron HaKohen could make his own. And when Aaron HaKohen made his own, it was also with Shnei HaSeirim, which was a Korban Tzibur. How did Aaron HaKohen have the initiative to create, mostly, a parallel Kapara or Avodas Yom HaKippurim? But if the role of the Kohen Gadol is not merely as the means to accomplishing Avodas Yom HaKippurim, but the Kohen Gadol's persona, the ideal, the aspirations that he stands for, are part of the theme of the day of Avodas Yom HaKippurim, then this is certainly possible. Moreover, there's a lot of evidence that the role of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur sounds that way in the Psukim. The Rav made this diuk in the Piyut of Atta Kananta. The Gemara itself in Yoma and Abdallah Amin Aleph has a suggestion that maybe certain requirements would have been only for the first Kohen Gadol. There seems to be some evidence that the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur is really tachas Aaron HaKohen. So in that sense, the persona of Aaron HaKohen is bound up with the theme of Yom Kippur. If this is the case, then we can understand many of the difficulties that we spoke about before. I see my time is almost up. So let me just make a couple of very quick comments about who the Kohen Gadol is generally. If, as I've suggested, the Avodas Yom Kippurim utilizes the persona of the Kohen Gadol, that the Kohen Gadol's role on the day of Yom Kippur even extends beyond Avodas Yom Kippurim and the Chatzah Shel Avoda because of that. If the characteristics of the Kohen Gadol Kol Shana also define his participation in a more acute way on Yom Kippur, then we should really understand better what it means to be a Kohen Gadol. On the one hand, it means to be the head of Shevet Kehuna. That's also reflected in the vidui, you know, of Echav HaKohanim, exactly on the Parachatos. But seemingly it means much more than that. And let me just illustrate it very quickly in a couple of ways. The halachos that are singular to the Kohen Gadol all underscore two related themes. One is the theme of Kulo Lashem, the capacity and the actual practice of being fully devoted in a very singular, black and white kind of way to the Ribbono Shel Olam, as well as, closely related, a total commitment to the collectivity of Klal Yisrael itself. After all, what is the idea of the Kohen Gadol? Min HaMikdash Lo Yetzei. Right? His personal family members are very important, Beiso Zuishto, V'chiper Ba'ado, Ba'ad Beiso, and yet, when it comes to the Avoda, when it comes to his status, he's not Mistame L'Zayin Krovim. He is Mistame to a Meis Mitzvah, because Meis Mitzvah belongs to Klal Yisrael. He's Makriv Onein, Min HaMikdash Lo Yetzei. There's a lot of evidence that the Rambam holds. The Rambam didn't understand it this way, but the Rambam in Hilchos Kli HaMikdash and Hilchos Kelayim, the Rambam holds that while a Kohen Hedyot cannot wear Bigdei Kahuna Shelo B'Shas Avoda, the Rambam thinks that's wrong. He says there are Gemaras in Yuma that show it's not true. But if you're Medayik in the language of the Rambam, it seems clear that the Rambam is Mechalek between Bigdei Kohen Gadol and Bigdei Kohen Hedyot. And I don't mean Bigdei Zahav as opposed to the regular Dalet Begadim. I mean the Begadim worn by the Kohen Gadol, whatever they are, and Bigdei Zahav. And Bigdei Hedyot. And the idea, again, the Radvaz argues, is based on the principle Min HaMikdash Lo Yetzei. There is, even when the Kohen Gadol is not performing specifically, the Kohen Gadol personifies the Avoda. Beis Halevi explained, Rav talked about this a lot, that Levishas Bigdei Kahuna are a kiyum, even Shelo B'Shas Avoda for the Kohen Gadol. A different emphasis, but really two sides of the same idea. Indeed, the Korban Minchas Chabitin that the Kohen Gadol is obligated to bring every day, it's a personal korban in one respect. It also has some tzibur connotations. If there's no Kohen Gadol, it has to be brought anyway. Tosfos Shanim speaks about that on Daf Nun in Masechet Yoma. But the Rambam has a particular view of the korban Minchas Chavitim, which I'm just going to mention for another time to develop. The Rambam says in Hilchos Ma'aser Karbanos that the Minchas Chavitim was a certain amount of solas, and it was brought one part in the morning, or once in the morning, once in the evening, by the Kohen Gadol. But the Rambam Shita is that what happened was they would bake the loaves for the Minchas Chavitim, all of them, and they would split all of them. They would bring half of them in the morning. They would bring one half of each loaf, in other words, in the morning, and the other half of each loaf in the afternoon. And the Ravid, and he also says that the cutting was done by Omed Hadas, right? You didn't have to take out your measuring stick for it. It was fine to estimate what is half. The Rebbe thinks both of those things are impossible. The Rebbe says, what will be the point of that? You bring half the amount, but full loaves in the morning, and the same in the afternoon. As for the Omer Hadas, why shouldn't you have a precise measurement of the shear of this korban like any other korban? Very briefly, I think that it can be demonstrated that the Rambam thinks that the korban minchas chavitin highlights who the Kohen Gadol is. He's a person min hamikdash layetzei. Even when he's not being makriv, by splitting the loaves in two, what we're saying is he's always in the middle of his avoda and his akrava. He did half in the morning, he didn't do one in the morning and one afterwards. It's not two in minyan mitzvos, unlike other things that are twice a day that the Rambam counts twice in minyan mitzvos. Basically, it's one hakrava, half in the morning, half later. There's no other hakrava like it in the Mikdash. That's who the Kohen Gadol really is. When the Kohen Gadol dies, right, Rotzkei Bishgaga leave the Ira Mikla. The Kohen Gadol has to marry only a certain kind of person. Kohen Gadol represents a certain aspiration, a certain ideal, one which applies to all of Klal Yisrael, but in a way vicariously, too difficult to apply Lemaisa across the board. The symbol of the Kohen Gadol, the personality, the reality of the Kohen Gadol, accomplishes that on behalf of Klal Yisrael. The Rambam's Mechadish in Hilchos Kli HaMikdash, that the Kohen Gadol has to live in Yerushalayim. Again, Nosei Kelim point out that there's no makar for that. There's no Gemara, there's no Yerushalayim, at least they don't think. No one's found it, as far as I know. There's a din that the Kohen Gadol has to live in Yerushalayim. And it sent all the Acharonim scrambling. Some of them thought, oh, because he brings the Korban every day, the Chavitin, so maybe he has a din of Lina every day. Very hard to justify that. A lot of the Acharonim, the Chaschinuch, others, weigh in on this issue. I always thought, again, speculating, that the reason the Kohen Gadol has to live in Yerushalayim, and even without a makar, is because for the Rambam, famous Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos, and Rosh Hashanah and Sukkah, and also his view about Kedushas Mikdash and Yerushalayim, Kedushas Yerushalayim and Kedushas Mikdash are the same. Even when the Kohen Gadol leaves the Mikdash, he doesn't really leave the Mikdash. He's in the extended Mikdash of Yerushalayim. Moreover, Yerushalayim lo nischalka l'shvatim, Yerushalayim belongs to Klal Yisrael, even in some respects, in a collective way more than the Mikdash, or in a different way, but as much as the Mikdash. The Kohen Gadol, even in his downtime, even in his family time, lives in Yerushalayim. That's who the Kohen Gadol is. If that's the case, then we can appreciate that Avodas Yom HaKippurim, the centerpiece of the Avoda, not something, it's not vicarious atonement. And it's not that it just needs the Kohen Gadol to accomplish the Knisa Lefnai V'Lefnim. We celebrate the Kohen Gadol, Yontif HaYuosin, and the Mara Kohen. We focus on the Kohen Gadol, not in a vicarious way, because the themes and motifs which he bears all year round, which are part of what it means to be, what to have, Kedushas Kohen Gadol, are one and the same, and therefore expressed most acutely in Avodas Yom HaKippurim. So, just want to wish everybody a Gmar Ksima Tova, and a Shnas Chaim V'Shalom. We should all appreciate the intricacy of the Avoda, the personality of the Kohen Gadol. While we don't have the Mikdash, we can still be just as inspired by the themes of the Mikdash, and while we don't have a Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol is not a person who is separate from us. He represents the ideal of the collectivity of Klal Yisrael, the concept of Kul Hashem, which really is the legacy of Avodas Yom HaKippurim and of the Yom HaTzom. Wish you all Bar Simcha Tovah.